Welcome to Life Matters. I'm your host, Brendan O'Connell. Well, having graduated from Georgetown University, I'm not sure Notre Dame has books, but our guest today was a graduate of Notre Dame University. He's from the Chicago area, and he's been a great titan and pro-lifer over the decades for the pro-life movement. And he's the only person in America that has, I think, been in front of the U.S. Supreme Court 3 times. Well, welcome Joe Scheidler.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Brendan. The Supreme Court, a triple thing. The one was just to find out if they could use racketeering, influence, corrupt organization laws against a social movement. You know, it seemed a little weird. Mm-hmm. But they allowed it, and then we had the trial. We actually won, and we went back to... We lost, and then we went all the way back to the Supreme Court and won. But the lower courts would not accept the win. And so we had to go back through the whole thing. And, you know, getting cert from the Supreme Court is not that easy.
Right.
They, like, one out of, I don't know how many hundreds of cases a day. Anyway, we got back there for the third time, and this time the Supreme Court ruled we were not guilty unanimously and said that that was the end of it. They didn't want any appellate court to return it. And so we finally got a little monetary satisfaction, which didn't amount to much. But we did finally win Now versus Scheidler. And it's become kind of a classic case because it did go before the court 3 times. And it's the only one in history.
Yes. And Antonin Scalia talked about a decision here in Massachusetts had to do with sidewalk counseling. Eleanor McCullen and a group of people led it, and it was a 9-0 decision, but Roberts went with the 4 liberals and kind of parsed the decision. And Scalia said afterwards, he says, you know, the abortion distortion continues at the Supreme Court level things that are coming down. And that kind of leads us into, with Kavanaugh being elected, the Supreme Court is somewhat pro-life now. We're not sure about Roberts. And so, therefore, a lot of the states are now trying to enact stuff in the case that Roe v. Wade is overturned, it goes back to the states. Tell us what's happened in Illinois recently.
Well, Illinois, you know, has... We back in the old days had Henry Hyde, and we could actually get laws passed here that would protect the unborn. They'd always be stopped in the courts, but nevertheless we could get them legislatively. But Illinois has gone very pro-abortion, and... we have now, and I hate to say this, but it's the worst abortion law in the country today. It's worse than New York. It's worse than Virginia. It's just really, it's abortion on demand. Governor Pritzker signed it today in down in Chicago. So we had about 70 or 80 protesters there, but we were not allowed into the signing. We did get some some press, but it's the most extensive. You are not required to be a doctor, a nurse, or somebody who has assisted in an operation can do the abortion. No parental notification. It actually allows abortion not just up to the birth of the baby, but if the baby is born during the abortion, they're allowed to exterminate it, to murder it. And the whole bill is atrocious. It's absolutely unspeakable.
And are doctors or medical people or whoever does the abortion, would they be liable for murder in because it is infanticide?
No, they get go off scot-free because it's the new law of Illinois.
Wow.
They wouldn't, but I mean, they've tried. Somebody could try, but you know, it's a consultation with the mother, with the woman who has the baby. And they'll, like in New York, they mentioned, or in Virginia, they can set aside the baby and decide what to do with it. Well, in the process, the baby dies, you know, they're not taking care of it. And so, it's just the country has really fallen. And yet at the same time, we have states like Alabama that are passing extremely strict laws against abortion. It's almost like we have a civil war going on in this country. But the only good thing about it really is that it's bringing the abortion issue closer to the people, the man on the street, because the majority of Americans do not support late-term abortions, by far the majority. But they don't believe that late-term abortions take place. Well, now it's being very clear in these laws like in New York and now Illinois that abortion is a taking of life, even a life that's born.
Mm-hmm. And who are the main organizations pushing it for it? There's Planned Parenthood, of course.
Well, Planned Parenthood's out in front because that is their business. A third of the abortions in the country are performed in Planned Parenthood facilities. But then, of course, the other groups, the National Organization for Women and the feminists in general, the radical feminists are for it, and the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, are for it. And so even a lot of famous people are coming out, actors and actresses and so on, people you wouldn't think, you know, from the movie you've seen the men, that they would be cold-blooded, but they are. And Hollywood now has said they will not do their filming in Georgia or Alabama, where they've, you know, been, they get better rates and so on. And you're getting the celebrities that say they won't do any acting or entertaining in these states that have strict anti-abortion laws. So it's a real battle. And the only good I see, and I do see good coming out of it, is that it's making abortion front page, and people are beginning to see more and more what abortion really is. This idea that it just, you know, that life doesn't begin till 6 months or heartbeat or whatever. They're finding out that abortion is always the killing of a human being, a human life is taken. So that's, you know, I've always said there's no such thing as bad news. There's either news or no news. And there's certainly news today, and it's on everybody's lips, and it's on every talk show. And so people are beginning to see more and more that abortion is the taking of an innocent, helpless human life.
It is that. And the folks that are the population control people, would you say that back in the 60s and 70s, I'm going to say they're somewhat of a heyday, are they still in control? Are they still using those arguments that there's overpopulation in the world?
Oh, yes. They're using the whole idea of overpopulation and unwanted children and children who will be sickly, children who will be unhappy. They actually, some of these women are bragging about their abortions, that it's a right not to bring a child into the world where it will not be wanted or where it may starve to death or whatever. And they almost feel that they're doing something virtuous by preventing suffering of a child. Well, you know, we all suffer, and nobody's sure which child is going to be unhappy or happy. I mean, Abe Lincoln would have been aborted. He wasn't, you know, he was born in a log cabin and so on. So we don't know people's futures, but we do know that thou shalt not kill is not a suggestion. And abortion is killing. It's killing a human being. And you know what I find too, so many of these women later on, because I've been at this now for 47 years, and I've known a lot of young women who had abortions who are now suffering terrible depression. They repent of the abortion, but they can't do anything about it. And they have nobody now to, you know, to look up to, with children, grandchildren, and so on. They see their friends are surrounded by people, and they're alone. And it is a cause, I think, of many of these. There's 10 times more suicide among women who have had abortions than women who just had children. 10 times. And young women are in the suicide danger zone, too, after they've had their abortion. They're not happy. They realize they did something awful. They find out about the humanity of the child. They've been forced into the abortion, many of them. We see women going into the clinic with the guy giving her a hammerlock. He's forcing her to have an abortion. We don't realize how many of these young women really don't want to abort the child, but their father or their boyfriend or even their husband insist they don't want the child. And that's one reason there's no punishment for women that have abortion, because many of them are coerced into the abortion and don't want to have it. A lot don't. Many have had multiple abortions. We know of one woman in Texas who had 22 abortions. Well, she was just using it for birth control, and that was not uncommon in Russia and in some of the countries that have had abortion even longer than we have.
But don't these women, particularly that are promiscuous, don't they have much higher rates of sexually transmitted diseases?
Oh yeah, they all kind of diseases and
infections.
Problems to last them the rest of their lives. Promiscuous living is dangerous living, and often leads to drugs, opiates, and so on, because they don't like themselves, and they try to escape actually from their own consciences, and so they try to be halfway drugged much of the time. There's nothing good about abortion. It destroys the spirit, the soul, and the body. It ultimately will lead to sterilization, so on, infection, and then when women, frequently when they want a baby, they can't have it. Everything's messed up. The fallopian tubes, the uterus, the lining has been, you know, damaged and so on. There's just so many reasons, just physical reasons, that a person should not have an abortion. What some of these pills do, throw the body off completely. And even the birth control pills are very dangerous.
Yes, they are. And have you seen an uptick in... I know Dr. Delgado from San Diego was involved in doing the abortion pill reversal effort. And,
yes.
And he spread it through, I believe Birthright is a pregnancy resource center that is now setting up a distribution system for him. Have you seen many people take advantage of that, or do you know of people that have?
We know some. We go out to an abortion mill every week where they just give the pill. In fact, the woman used to run an abortion clinic that we closed down, or helped to close down. It was doing surgical and the pill, and now they only do the pill. The abortion pill. They give it in the clinic. When you go in, they have you take one, the one that starts the abortion, and then they give you a sack with two more pills in it that you're to take later. Now, we have a sign that says we can reverse this procedure, And we do have doctors here in Chicago that will give medications that will stop the action of the first pill. But we have very few women that we can talk with long enough. We have some, but it's not 100% because the first mifepristone is so powerful. It starts, starving the baby. It doesn't get nourishment, and it's very hard to reverse. And you do have to stay under a doctor's care during the period the baby's still alive. You have to fight off. You don't take the second two pills, of course. That definitely would expel the baby. But you have to be very, very careful all through the process to have the baby born
right.
Ultimately.
My understanding is that the progesterone, which is now given in orally, I believe, it used to only be with a needle, but the progesterone overrides the abortion pill. And if it wins that battle, then it's able to, you're able to save the child. That's my understanding of the whole thing.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily a one-time thing. There has to be, you have to follow the progress for the whole time of the pregnancy, is my understanding. It's not just a simple thing. Maybe they're going for something stronger, but it's, the pill is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it will start starving. It cuts off the nourishment to the baby, and so you have to reverse that immediately.
Right.
So we try, and we do send every once in a while. We send a woman or two to the doctor to reverse the pill.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about. I know that you have a day of remembrance in September, and recently in Indiana there was a case decided. Well, actually, I believe the Supreme Court decided that the baby that has been aborted can have burial rights. Well, what do you make of that? And would that be the pro-life woman who would bury the baby assisting the pro-abortion movement that kills the baby?
You know, that's a strange thing because there's a group called Stericycle. They have they pick up the bodies at the clinics, and they have in their rules of things they can't pick up are human bodies. You know, they don't take somebody who's ready to be buried. They're not allowed to take the fetuses, the unborn the children that are killed by abortion. And yet they do. We follow them around, and they pick up the great big cans that have the babies in them. And so we're picketing them and protesting, and I don't know if we're going to sue them or what, but we have buried thousands of these babies, and now the clinics, we don't know. They may put in, what they used to, incinerators and simply burn the bodies at the mill, at the abortion mill. We're not certain, but there's a lot of chicanery going on there, disposal of the bodies. But it's hard to know how to deal with these people because they're so deceptive, and even the businesses, we follow them around, and they do pick up the bodies from the clinic, and they just dump them as garbage.
Yeah.
So it would be good if the clinic had to have a burial service, but they wouldn't do that, I don't think.
Well, there would be a cost component to it, and they're into making profit.
Right.
What do you make of this argument by the pro-abortion people that? Shouldn't abortion be legal in the cases of rape and incest? When they make that argument, which is how a lot of politicians, you know.
A lot of politicians put that in, and many of your laws, state laws. Rape and incest are abortion. First of all, the woman can lie about the rape, the incest, and so on. How does anybody know? Besides, the baby is just as much a human being, a human life, a valuable human life, or somebody that is conceived in a loving way by a husband and wife who very much want the child. And I have met so many really wonderful people who were the product of rape. I remember one young lady, she was a twin, and so they aborted her brother at the clinic. The mother went home, and a week or so later, she still feels kicking. So she went back, and the abortionist said, oh, you had twins, and we only got one of them. And so they said they would finish the abortion. She wouldn't have to pay extra. And she said, no, I'm keeping this one. Well, I met the young lady, and she had been damaged a little bit. One leg was partially, part of her foot was gone, and they cut a piece of her head out. But she was a beautiful young lady, and she was a product of a rape and a product of somebody who was being aborted and survived. And, you know, there are so many of these wonderful people that we can show, you know, introduce and say she's a failed abortion or he's a failed abortion. They're people. So when you make rape and incest an exception, you're not truly pro-life. You may think you are, and you may intend to be, but you think rape is so bad, which it is, that the product of rape is bad, but it's not. It's a young man or a young woman who has a right to live.
Right. The Elliott Institute has done studies on this and, you know, have found that that those that are impregnated from a rape or incest, while people might think they'll counsel that woman or girl, they think they're saying, well, just have an abortion. But really, the woman oftentimes says, no, I'm not going to. Why should I? I've, you know, incurred this one bad scene. I'm not going to have another terrible thing happen to me in an abortion that I have to live with. So the end result is that a lot of women that have rape and incest, the child is born.
Right.
That's what psychological. That's what the Elliott Institute and their sociological studies found.
Right. That's true, and it's one thing. It doesn't get rid of the rape. The rape is a fact. It's a violence. It's illegal, etc. But the abortion only adds to the trauma.
Right.
At least the child is a positive, a result of a rape, and the child can be very loving and you know, a perfectly a valuable person. And the rape is a bad memory, but the child at least is a good result.
Right. And I wanted to ask you, too, Joe, about with these states now deciding they're going to pass laws even before Roe v. Wade is overturned, what do you see for the American landscape if Roe v. Wade is overturned?
Roe v. Wade will be overturned. It's as White said in his dissenting opinion, it's an exercise of raw judicial power. It's nowhere in the Constitution. Abortion was always a crime, and the Hippocratic Oath, which is predates Christ, coming 1,000 years, the medical profession knew abortion was taking life. We know absolutely that it does that. So, what will happen is it'll go back to the states, and they have laws, and they're trying to set things up now. That the Supreme Court ruling, if it overturns Roe, which it will eventually, they will still be meccas for abortion because they want to simply pass state laws which they did before. Mm-hmm. And you'll have places like New York and Chicago and I'm certain California and some of the more liberal democratic states will have abortion. And they will become like meccas. People will fly to Chicago, fly to New York City, and they'll still have abortion. It's almost impossible to get rid of it because it's some people always want an abortion. They'll say, well, they'll go to the back alley. Well, the abortion clinic is a condition we find them in, and we have people who we get to inspect the clinics and so on. And they get closed down. They're filthy. They're not following the proper procedures and so on. They have non-doctors doing the abortions and all sorts of violations. And we simply have to try to close the clinics partly because they're so unsanitary and so unhealthy. That'll be one way to do it. Mm-hmm. But the main thing is a one-on-one to talk with the people and keeping the issue alive and letting people see movies like Unplanned and Gosnell and so on that tell just what abortion is.
Right.
And it's just pure and simple murder
of
a child.
Joe Scheidler, our time has come to an end, and we have to wrap it up here. Just one final question. Do you see Doe versus Bolton, if Roe versus Wade goes down, does Doe versus Bolton automatically go down too?
Yeah, they're twin decisions. They were done the same day,
right.
And they're read together.
Right.
They are slightly different cases from Texas and from Georgia, but basically, if one goes, the other goes.
Well, Joe, thanks so much for being on the show today. We always enjoy your knowledge and wisdom and perspective for 47 years in the battle over abortion in this country. And thanks again, Joe Scheidler. And folks, we hope you found today's show to be unique, informative, content-rich, truthful, and thought-provoking. Thanks for watching. I'm Brendan O'Connell, your friend for life.